Let's go a step further, and then we'll come back. Let's go a step further. Now he goes to the next plane, next world. As this is explained in Tikkun Isaiah, in Tikkun Vav. Next, now, when Malchus Da'atzilus enclothes itself in Malchus of Bria, the Shechina of Atzilus, which is the power plant of all of the worlds, now enclothes itself in Malchus of Bria, mislabeshes, it then clothes itself, Beheichel Katshe Kadashim the Yitzira, in the shrine of the Holy of Holies of the world of Yitzira, Shehu Chabad the Yitzira, this being the Chachma bin Adas of the world of Yitzira. This is the Katshe Kadashim of Yitzira. Bria has its Holy of Holies, that's Chachma bin Adas of Bria. Yitzira has its Chamber of Holy of Holies, that's Chachma bin Adas of Yitzira. So now the Shechina, which is Malchus Datzilus, enclosed in Malchus de Bria, is now enclosed in Chachma bin Adas of Yitzira. And what happens? The same pattern that he described above concerning Bria, he will now describe concerning Yitzira. Obislapshus and b'malchus Yitzira, the Yitzira, now when they, who are they? When the Malchus of Atzilus and the Malchus of Bria now enclothe themselves in Chabad of Yitzira, and they all enclothe themselves in Malchus of Yitzira, which is the divine attribute of Malchus and Yitzira. Neitzru haRucha is vaMalachim shebi Yitzira. From this are created the Rucha, is the spirits, the souls, and the angels of the world of Yitzira. Just like he said before, from Malchus of Bria are created the souls and the angels of Bria. From Malchus of Yitzira are created the souls and the angels of Yitzira. But here he doesn't use the word Neshamis; he uses the word Ruchas. Because generally in Kabbalah, the three levels of soul, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Neshama is associated with Bria, and Ruach with Yetzirah, and Nefesh with Asiya. So that's why Alter Rebbe uses here the word Ruchas. And he adds, V'gam and also Misham, from this realm, which realm? From Malchus the Yetzirah, which hasn't been enclosed. Chabad of Yetzirah, which hasn't been Shechina. He ha Mishnah shalafoneinu. This is where the Mishnah that we possess comes from. What is Mishnah? Shehi halachis psukos. Mishnah comprises legal, defined decisions, legal laws. Hanemshachis gamkin mechabad shalein seif baruch. They are also derived from Chabad of the Blessed Ein Sof, just as Talmud comes from Chabad. Rak, but there's a big difference. Rak shepchin is Chabad, however, the categories of Chachma bin Adas, Shehim taimei halachos, which are the reasons and the rationale behind the laws, hey melubashim ugnuzim begufei halachos. They are concealed, they are hidden within the laws themselves, v'loy bebchinas gilui, and they are not in a revealed form. V'gufei halachos shehim bebchinas gilui, why the elements of the halachos themselves, which are in a revealed form in Mishnah, hein hein, they are ha'aras midosav, shalein seif baruch bebchinas gilui. They are a very reflection of the midos, of the emotional attributes of the Endless One in a revealed fashion. Again, as has been written above in chapter 39 in the name of Tikkun Zoyar, the Shit Sfirin Mekanin in Beitzira, that it's the six spheres of Atzilus, the six emotions, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisoid, that nests, that dwells in the world of Yitzira, Shehein Derech Klal, generally, in a general form, Hein Shnei Kaven. They can be divided into two extensions, Yeminu Smol, right and left. And this constitutes all of the halachas of Mishnah, either Lahakil Mesitra de Chesed, either acting in a lenient fashion, which is a representation of the side of Chesed, of love, of attraction. Dahainu Lahatir, this means you permit something, Sheyuchal Lalas al Hashem, in order that it should be able to ascend to Hashem. Ay Lahach Merchuli, or sometimes the halacha is the opposite way, opposite extreme, acting in a stringent manner, and so on and so forth, all of the many types of halachas in between, and this is a reflection of gvura, of rejection. But v'hakel, all of this, the Mishnah and the Talmud and everything included, is al pi chachmei la d'atzilus, is all in according with the chachmei la, with the supernal chachma of the world of Atzilus. And when I say chachmei la, he says, u bina v'das kluis ba, and bina and das are comprised in it in the chachma Atzilus, so it includes the chabad of Atzilus, u miyuchada is be'ein seif baruch hu, and all of them. The chachma bina das of Atzilus, which from where the Mishnah and Talmud are based upon, are united and one with the Ein Sof, ki betoich kulon, because in all of them, melubashos chabad atzilus, are clothed in Mishnah and Gemara, are clothed, the chachma bina and das of atzilus, which means in chabad of Briya and chabad of Yitzhida, which then gives rise to Talmud and Mishnah, is enclosed the chabad of atzilus, she'ed ein seif baruch hu miyuchud be'en betachlus hayichud, and the light of Ein Sof is united with them, with chachma bina das of atzilus in perfect union. And Alter Rebbe says, v'chein b'derech zeh, and in this same pattern, Yorda Ashchina, the Shchina descended, v'nislapsha b'heichel katshe kadoshim da'asiya, and clothed itself in the shrine of the Holy of Holies of Asiya in the same fashion. Malchus da'atzilis encloses itself in Malchus de Briya, in Malchus de Yitzira. Malchus de Yitzira now manifests itself in katshe kadoshim of Asiya, which is Chabad of Asiya. And when Katshe Kadoshim of Asiya now transmits the energy to Malchus of Asiya, it creates all of the creatures of Asiya, including you and I, and it also produces the realm of Torah, which is relevant to Asiya, which is Mikra, which is biblical, the Bible, the Chamisha Chumash Torah, the five books of Moshe, and the 20, altogether, the 24 books of the entire Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, the Torah, the prophets, and the holy writings. What is Alter Rebbe saying? It's noticeable immediately. The Alter Rebbe uses the word Misham Nimshach HaTalmud Shalafaneinu. From there comes the Talmud that is in front of us. Or Misham Nimshach HaMishnah Shalafaneinu. The Mishnah that we, Misham Hi HaMishnah Shalafaneinu. The Mishnah that we possess comes from there. What, there's a different Talmud? There's a different Gemara? There's the Art Scroll version of Gemara and there's the Vilna version of Gemara. What does Alter Rebbe mean Shalafaneinu? It's not a superfluous word, obviously, in the Mishnah Shalafaneinu. And what is this distinction? Gemara is a product of Briya. Mishnah is a product of Yetzirah. Here he doesn't say about Chumash. He says this in chapter 40. That Chumash is a product of Asiya. Essentially, as we began discussing last week, the entire Torah, every word, idea, and part of Torah, whichever part of Torah it may be, is defined throughout the Tanya as Chachmasoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chachmei La, Hashem's intimate wisdom, which is one with Him, Hu V'Chachmasoi Yachad, Il Chakim V'La B'Chachmei Yediyah, a type of intelligence that is totally unknown to us and incomprehensible to us, or in the terminology used in previous chapters, in chapter 4 and chapter 23, the Torah and Hashem are one, it's Chachma Eloh, Hu V'Chachmas Yechor, he quotes the Rambam in chapter 4, Hu Amada, Hu Ayideyev, Hu Amada, that by Hashem the knower and the knowledge and the instrument of knowledge are one, and therefore the Torah, which is His wisdom, is one with Him. And this is true about all Torah, all of Torah. But the Alter Rebbe says, this is not the Talmud Shalafaneinu. This is not the Talmud that is before us. Because this type of Torah, we would not be able to understand. And the Gemara that we learn, we could understand. We don't understand it fully. Nobody captures it to its end. But we relate to it, we understand it. If we would be presented, if our literature of Torah would be a picture, it would be a copy of Torah as it looks, so to speak, in the world of Atzilus, we would look at it like a cat, less than a cat understands a moon, the moon. Less. The Talmud that we have is based on irrational principles, logical axioms. The formulas that are employed by the Gemara, this formula the Alter Rebbe says is a product of the world of Bria. If the Gemara of Atzilus, if the Gemara as it looks in Atzilus would be communicated to us, we would have no tools to study it, to comprehend it, to deal with it. We couldn't relate to its mechanisms, to its design, to its formula. The building blocks of our Gemara, its rational formulas, is a product of the world of Bria, which is the world of Chabad. Not to say that in the world of Bria, the souls learn the same Gemara that we learn. They have the same formulas, they don't learn the same Gemara. They learn the same Gemara, I'm sorry, but their English translation is a different translation. Explain. If they're learning Masechta Baba Kama in Gan Eden, in the world of Bria, Gan Eden Alien, for example. So they'll learn the first Mishnah. Well, let's do the Gemara. It's irrelevant for this discussion. Bria, Yetzirah, it's both different translations. There are four father-like types of damages in which somebody's property damages another, in which your property damages another human being's property. And the first one is shayr. Let's take the example of shayr. What is shayr? Okay, there's an argument in Gemara what shayr is. But let's take the opinion that shayr is keren. Which is actually not the conclusion, but for our discussion it will be easier. Shayr is keren means we're discussing if you have a bull, and your bull goes and gores another human being's bull. So the question is, are you responsible? How much are you responsible? And the whole discussion that's connected to a shayr shenagach, a shayr tam, a shayr hamu, the first three times, after the first three times you pay only half, after three times you have to pay full compensation, and so on and so forth. And then there are the derivatives of Karen. What happens if your bull doesn't gore another bull? Your bull bites another bull. Or kicks another bull. Negifa, neshicha, revitza, bita. We discussed last week a little bit with Palganiska Knossa, Palganiska Mamayna. But let's just take that whole discussion over there in the Gemara. And the advantages, the Gemara says, that exists in Karen that doesn't exist in other forms. For example, if your bull eats up somebody else's field, you would not be able to derive the law of Shein from the law of Karen, because Karen is Kavanasei La'azik. When your bull gores somebody else's bull, its intention was to damage the other bull. When your bull eats up somebody else's field, its intention wasn't to damage. Its intention was to have dinner. On the other hand, if it would only say the din of Shein, you wouldn't learn out Karen, because Shein is Yesh Hanah La'azik, and by Karen there's no Hanah La'azik. If your bull eats somebody else's field, it enjoyed what it did. When it gores somebody else, it didn't enjoy it, and therefore there's the logic to say that over there you're more responsible, and therefore the Torah has to include all of these laws. Kavanasei La'azik is a logical formula that the Gemara employs there. That logical formula is not initiated in Atzilus, it's initiated in Bria. However, in Bria, a goring bull is not what a goring bull is in Asiya. In Asiya, we all know what a goring bull is. I remember I traveled a few years ago to Ireland. It's a green country. So I went to visit a Jew there in some hick town in Ireland that was 2.5 hours from Dublin. And basically one house from another house, the space between one house and another house was like 2 miles. So I remember we're driving down the street. I see a few bulls walking down the street, a few cows, a few horses, a few camels, a few donkeys. Suddenly the Gemara became alive. You know, in the streets of Borough Park, you don't appreciate Shur Shanaga Chesapara. But now you can obviously, you know, you see You can see the bull goring the cow, and so on and so forth. I saw a pit. I can understand a sheir falling into a pit, a bull falling into a pit, and you being responsible for it, which is one of the four avos nezikin, and so forth. In Bria, they learn the same thing. But over there, they're dealing with a different goring sheir. Over there, there's a maisa with the merkava, there's a pnei sheir. There's a group of angels that have called, the Yecheskel talks about, and they hold up the throne of Hashem, and they have pnei sheir, the face of a bull. You're dealing with a spiritual type of bull, which is the origin of the physical bull. And this malach of pnei sheir, gores another malach of pnei sheir, not with its physical horns, but it's a metaphysical concept of interactions, negative interactions, between different energies and creatures of Bria on a spiritual level. The same is true with Nekuvas Havesha Trefa. If you learn in Mesich Techulun, that if the esophagus of your cow is perforated, the food pipe, it's Treif. In Neilam Abriya, they learn the same din. But over there, they're dealing with the esophagus, the food pipe, that transfers the energy from the brain of the spiritual creatures that are associated with Shayr in the world of Bria to the lower parts of this malach, which is the veshen, if it's perforated. When the malachim tell Moshe Rabbeinu, we discussed this last week, in Mesichta Shabbos, in the Sugya of Matan Torah, it says that when Moshe came up to take the Torah, the malachim told Hashem, this treasure that has been with you 974 generations before the world was created, and you're giving it to a boss of a dumb, you're giving it to vulnerable human beings who are susceptible to corruption. The Malachim refused to allow Hashem to give the Torah to the Moshe Rabbeinu. They asked, Mali Yeludisha Beinenu, what is he doing here? So Hashem tells them he came to receive the Torah. So he told them, Chem de Gnuza, your greatest treasure, you're going to give it to people on earth, they're going to corrupt it. So Hashem told Moshe was trembling. He didn't know what to do. So Hashem told him, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod and tell them an answer. So Moshe gives them a very interesting answer. He says, one second, what does it say in this Torah? It says in this Torah, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't commit adultery. I want to know, any angels here are about to commit adultery or about to murder? It says that Jews left Egypt. Anybody here was in Egypt. It says you have to respect your father and mother. Any angels get into fights with their fathers and mothers that they have to be told to respect them? They don't even have fathers and mothers. Huh? No. So the question... Huh? So the question is, what do the angels want? What type of Torah? The angels are not foolish. What Torah did they want? Which Torah did they want? It doesn't relate to them. So Chassidus explains, no. The whole Torah can be applied on a spiritual level. There's a spiritual Egypt, and the spiritual murder, and the spiritual adultery. In Bria, there's also adultery. It's not as ugly as adultery in this world. It's not so ugly at all, actually. When Zah interacts with Nukva, it's a father interacting with a daughter. Having relationships with a daughter. It's not so ugly. It's the basis of our existence. That's why Yaakov married two sisters. In the higher worlds, there's a lot of arayas going on. In this world, it becomes very ugly because there's very intense energy. But that's a separate subject. The point is that you have all of these halachas up there. But they're understood on a metaphysical level. The malachim didn't want that Torah should assume a physical incarnation. If Moshe would have received the Torah and the Malachim would have been victorious in their debate, we may have learned the Torah, but we would not be able to appreciate any of Torah from a physical perspective. That means when we would learn Shor Shanagah Chesapara, we would not be able to translate it in forms of a physical bull goring a physical cow. We would have to translate it in terms of a spiritual bull goring a spiritual cow. And then we would never be able to see it. We would never be able to understand it in an immediate, direct, clear, comprehensible fashion. If the Torah would have never descended even into the world of Bria, even the formulas would be incomprehensible to us. Now, the Torah of Bria and Yetzirah, our problem with that Torah is we can't see it, but we can understand it. Because the principles of logic, that relate to our Gemara exist in the Gemara of Bria. That's where these principles of logic were created. If it would come down to us as it's in the world of Atzilus, we wouldn't even be able to relate to it at all. Even as a spiritual being, we wouldn't be able to relate to its formula. It totally defies our intellectual tools. The problem with the Torah of Bria, the hindrance that we have with the Torah of Bria is not the formula. The formula is similar. It's that we can't appreciate spiritual reality. And that was the whole debate between Moshe Rabbeinu and the angels. We discussed this in chapter 4. Moshe Rabbeinu explained to the angels what was his response, that the whole purpose of Torah was to transform the physical world. So if it doesn't assume the physical incarnation, it's pointless. One second. It's not a spiritual Abaya and Nova. Abaya and Nova are spiritual. There's a spiritual Shoish and Nagach HaSapara, but Abaya and Nova are spiritual. They are spiritual. He's asking, what about the composers of Gemara? Gemara is composed by human beings. So Chassidus, Dr. Rebbe explained this elsewhere. Chassidus, this is a very big, big discussion. Chassidus. The souls of the Tanayim and the Amirayim were higher souls. And their logic was an expression of Chabad of Olam HaBriya. Their logic was a manifestation of the divine Chabad of Olam HaBriya. It's not Chabad of Atzilus, it's Chabad of Briya. Not only that, their logic of Briya really, if it was Torah, ultimately it was an expression of Atzilus. But the Talmud Shalafaneinu that we relate to is Chabad of Briya. Even the Talmud we relate to, what do we relate to? I told you, we spoke last week, we could learn the same piece of Gemara 600 times and still not scratch its surface. Chabad of Bria is no little game. But we can relate to it. You can relate to the logic of Gemara, you can deal with it. You can pierce, you could gaze at it. Chabad of Atzilus, the product of Chabad of Atzilus is Huva Chachmasa Yechad. It's totally of an infinite nature. That's what Alter Rebbe said. What about Mishnah? Mishnah is emotions. It's an interesting definition of Mishnah. Mishnah, he says, is emotions. What is Mishnah? Really, what Alter Rebbe is saying, what is Mishnah? The halacha is that this person is innocent and this person is blameless. This esrig is a kosher esrig, and this esrig is a pasul esrig, is a disqualified esrig. In other words, you could say what the Mishnah is saying is this esrig Hashem is in love with, and this esrig he's very not in love with. Yeah, that's what it is. In Mishnah, you also have Chabad. It comes from Chachmas of Shlakadur Baruch Hu, but that's concealed in the halach. What is expressed in Mishnah? What is expressed in Mishnah, the body of the halachas, is this is good and this is not good. This is disqualified, this is permissible, this is prohibited. This Hashem says I love and this I despise. This I cherish and this I negate. And there's a lot of halachas in between. It's not only you have chesedin, you have compassion. For example, the many halachas, they're not prohibited, but they're not obligatory. You have many halachas that in one circumstance they are obligatory and in another circumstance they're prohibited. Like Yibum, a woman marrying her husband's brother is prohibited. But if her husband died without children, it becomes a mitzvah.
We heard there was one statement
that
she said.
Yeah. But that's what Alter Rebbe says. And this is the reason, according to Kabbalah, why there are Shisha Sidri Mishnah. It's very interesting. Why the Mishnah is divided into six sections. Because they correspond to the six middos. Shit Svirin Mekanan and Biyitzira. Zrayim, Mayid, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim, Taris. Zrayim, Mayid, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim, and Taris. Zman Nakat and the famous Simon for them. Shit Svirin, that's why he says it. Shit Svirin Mekanan and Biyitzira. What's the difference between the four worlds? Atzilus is the world which is one with Hashem. Briya. In Bria, you have the revelation of Bina, Imeila, the higher mother. Unlike Imetata, which is Malchus, Imeila, the higher mother, dwells in the world of the throne, dwells in Bria. Bria is a world of intellectualism, divine intellect. Yitzira, Shitzvira, Mekanan, Yitzira, Chesed through your side, nest in Yitzira. And Malchus, ima ilah, that's in, I'm sorry, ima tata, that's in Asiya, Malchus. That's what he explained in chapter 39 from Tikkun Isaiah. Therefore, Mishnah is an expression of the divine emotions. Why is it divine emotions? Chesed will say that this animal is kosher. It will, and that's an expression of attraction. Because through that, Hashem allows you to elevate the animal. Gvura, rejection, will say this animal is non-kosher, and therefore it gets pushed away and it can't be sublimated to holiness because you can't eat it. There's a story, I don't know if it's anecdotal, if it's real, there was a big rav, that once somebody, a woman came with a behemoth, with a cow. There was a question on the behemoth, if it's kosher or not kosher. So the rabbi took a look, and he examined it, and he said it's kosher. So when the scholars of the community heard about his verdict, they came to him the next day, and they said, the shach writes in Shulchan Aruch that it's treif. The Shach, the great commentator on the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei and Ilchus Treifus, he writes that this is disqualified. So the rabbi responded, he meant it seriously or anecdotally, but the point he says as follows. He says, now after 120 years, when I come to the heavenly throne, who's going to take me to court? The Shach. Shach is going to take me to court. Hayitachin, how is it that as a rabbi, you issued forth a verdict that's antithetical to my halachic opinion? He says, I don't mind going with the Shach to court. What happens if I would have said that the animal is disqualified and I would have followed the Shach? Who would have taken me to court? The cow. The behemoth would have taken me to court. He says, going to the Torah by Hashem with a cow, I would rather do it with the Shach rather than with a cow. The truth is, there's a real story about the Alter Rebbe. I mean, it's an amazing story. There was once the Alter Rebbe visited a city called Yanovich in Russia. There was a butcher who came with a behemoth. Now, in a behemoth, a cow in the lungs, it can be very complicated questions. Sirchis Hareya, the adhesions of the lungs, is a very, very complicated issue in halacha. What disqualifies it and what makes it treif. I mean, it could be very complex. A lot of opinions. That can also connect it to kosher and glat kosher and the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. Anyway, a butcher came to the Alter Rebbe with a behemoth, with a lung, in the beginning of the night and asked, it was at dusk, it was as the day was ending, and he asked the Alter Rebbe if it's kosher or treif. Kosher or not kosher, treif. So the Alter Rebbe took the lung and he examines it again and again and again. The Alter Rebbe sat all night, looking in Sfarim, toiling, sweating away on the halacha. At dawn, he tells the butcher it's kosher. He found a way to kosher the animal. He found a source in halacha by which he can deem this animal kosher and fit for Jewish consumption. Now the butcher sat there. He sat in the Alter Rebbe's study. He was a real butcher. He didn't have what to do in the Alter Rebbe's study. He fell asleep. So Alter Rebbe is sitting for hours on halacha. In the middle of the night, he wakes up. He sees the Alter Rebbe still sitting on his halacha. He says, Rebbe, mein hezek is nicht wert eier Nacht. I'm talking going to lose money, but it's not worth that you should squander a night over me losing an animal. It's not the end of the world. Forget about it. We'll throw it out in the garbage. In the middle of the night. So the Alter Rebbe told him. The Alter Rebbe told it. Aduvos gizen. Vid de behema shtetum betzach. As mezalei kashin vos tuazenish gizakt. If you would be able to observe how this animal is standing now and begging that she should be deemed kosher, you wouldn't say what you've said. And he stayed up all night and he kashin the animal. Now, this is what he's saying. So it's not just a rav gives out a verdict, the behemoth is kosher, the behemoth is not kosher. The soul, obviously the cow was dead. He meant the soul of the animal, there's a divine energy in the animal. It's begging it should be deemed kosher. If it's deemed kosher, a Jew can eat it, make a blessing on it, eat it for a transcendental purpose, and sublimate the whole klipas naigut to become holiness, like he explained in chapter 7. If he says it's treif, he's rejecting it. That's it. It goes to the garbage. And who knows the divine energy then has to go and be reincarnated. And I mean, who knows what happens? I mean, that Hashem decides. But it's an expression of Gevurah. In Gemara, you have the legal formulas, the intellectual rationales behind Halacha. But in the Mishnah, what do you have? You have yes or no. In the Mishnah, you have an expressive emotions. This will be embraced. This is rejected. This Hashem loves. This He despises. It's an expression of chesed din rachman. Shitzvirim mekanan in b'yitzir. So the Rebbe says, if you would have these eyes, you wouldn't just treat it lightheadedly. It's interesting, this really explains the Yerushalmi writes at the end in Masechta Terumas, the end of the fifth chapter of Masechta Terumas, the Talmud Yerushalmi says something interesting. Kach asur letamei esatoy. The same prohibition that there is for a rabbi to purify, to deem pure that which is impure, the same prohibition is to deem impure that which is pure. Which apparently, if you're a stringent person, you would say it's the other way around. You know, let me not get into any doubts. Let me just say it's treif. Let me just say it's tummy. But no! It is a very, very, very sensitive issue. You are rejecting a whole part of Hashem's world. And you're deeming it, and you're relegating it to the realm of the unholy, and to the realm of the abominable, to the realm that cannot be sublimated, at least in the present world, in the ordinary fashion of the elevation of the universe. I mean, everything will ultimately have its elevation in its own way in due time and history. And that's a major, awesome responsibility. So the mission that we have in the world of Yetzirah itself, they study the Mishnah spiritually. But they study the same halachas and the same principles apply. In our world, it's physical. Just like Gemara in our world is physical. So each world, Al Rebbe is not saying here that in Briya, because people get confused here, there's two ideas. There's the concept of the Torah in this world is physical. The Torah in the higher world is spiritual. But that's not the concept here in this chapter. The concept here in this chapter is that the formulas that define the Gemara or the Mishnah, the Gemara is Briya, the Mishnah is Yetzirah. And then you have Chumash. What's Chumash? Chumash is a storybook. The whole Tanakh is just one big story. That's it. It's just one long story. The mitzvahs are told as stories. Most of it is stories. Most of Chumash is all stories. The mitzvahs come in within the stories. This is a product of the world of Asiyah. Which means as follows. Just one second. If we would have the Gemara as it's in the world of Briya, it would still not be our Gemara. It would be our Gemara, but with different translations. If we would have the Gemara as it's in Atzilus, it wouldn't be different translations. It would totally be incomprehensible. The Gemara in Briya would be with different translations. Just like, if you have an idea in your mind, if you want to write it down on a piece of paper, you have to use physical ink. But the physical ink doesn't alter the idea. The Gemara coming down from Briya to Asiyah doesn't alter the Gemara. It gives it a physical veneer. It gives it a physical incarnation, but it doesn't alter. Just like ink gives your logic a physical identity, but it doesn't change it around. From Atzilus to Briya, it's changed. From Briya to Asiyah, its form is different, but essentially it's the same formula. That's the point Alter Rebbe is making. Torah Shebuksav Shalafaneinu. Shalafaneinu. Shalafaneinu, yeah. Now, you could learn Torah exactly like the Malachim learn it. The Arizal has what we call Shar, what is it called? Lekutei Tanakh laHarizal. Take Lekutei Tanakh laHarizal. Or take Shar Maamori Razal to the Arizal. Open it up and you can learn Gemara Brachas according to the Arizal and you'll see what the Malachim do when they're learning Masechta Brachas. You have the whole Gemara, but it's all on a spiritual level. And you can learn it. Can you relate to it like you relate to our Gemara Brachas? It's very difficult. Then there's one more part of Torah. Kabbalah. What is that? That's Atzilus. And Takadir, we don't understand.
And mostly it's books about Atzilus.
Huh?
It's mostly its subject is Atzilus.
So the Arizal writes in Lakut Torah in the beginning of Parshas, where he says, why does the Torah begin with a base? And very interesting, why does the Torah begin with a base?
So it started from
He says, because the Torah that we have is from Bria and below. The Aleph of Torah, that Silas Torah, we have no relationship to. The Torah that we have is Beis. First of all, Beis is two, world number two. And also Beis is Bria, begins with Beis, Bria. And Atzilus begins with an Aleph, Atzilus. But here the Alter Rebbe adds, HaKoyl Al Pichach Melad Atzilus. It's not when you're learning Gemara now, you're learning Bria Yitzirasiya. You're learning Chach Melad Atzilus. The miracle of Torah is that it's Chach Melad Atzilus. Because of its infinite quality, assumes also a finite veneer of Briya Yitzira Asiya. That's Torah. And this is the paradox of Torah. It's higher than Shechina, and it becomes a cloak for Shechina. So there's nothing that we experience. My vitality, your vitality, must go through the Torah of the world of Asiya. Heichel Kachya Kadashim of Asiya. All the souls and angels of Yitzira must go through the brain of Yitzira. What's the brain of Yitzira? Mishnayos. What's the brain of Yitzira? Chabad of Yitzira. The souls of Asiya must go through Chabad of Bria, must go through Chabad of Bria, and so on and so forth. Torah becomes the brain that takes the Shechina, internalizes it, conceals it, and then transmits it, just like the brain, the command system to every part of the body, from head to toe. The Chabad, through the Malchus, transmits it to all the spheres and then to every part of that respective world. And that's the Kodesh Kadashim, which is the cosmic brain. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. Every morning you say, V'chula makablam aleim el malcha shamayim zemizev v'noistim ba'ahava rishu zelaze. Why do you have to say ba'ahava? That means they can also give things over, not so much ba'ahava, yeah? V'noistim ba'ahava rishu zelaze. They can give over messages through goring. There's gvura, there's chesed. It's a different level of goring. Hey, let me ask you a question. A teacher can communicate a story, communicate a message to a student through a hug, yeah? And through what we call in Yiddish a shtech, yeah? What's a shtech? Even in Yiddish, what do we call a shtech? An insult. It's not a physical shtech. It's a psychological shtech. It's a psychological insult. And so you have the higher and higher and higher and higher.
That's not the kind of teacher I admire.
Fine, I'm just talking about the possibility. I'm not admiring it. We're talking about the possibility. You want to know examples in if you learn Chassidus, yeah. Chassidus takes a lot of halachas and explains it as they learn them in Gan Eden. For example, in Lekut HaTorah Parshas Tazria, there's a whole long maimer. He explains the whole Gemara with, you know, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni and Baba Metzia, Baharis, Kadma L'Seir Lov and Seir Lov and Kadma L'Baharis, about leprosy. If the white spot on the skin precedes the white hair or comes after the white hair, how they study it in Gan Eden. She explains what skin is and what hair is and what leprosy is. Now, this doesn't mean that when we learn Baharis and Seir Lovin, it doesn't mean physical. It means a physical white spot and physical white hair. But if the Malachim would have been victorious, it would have not had that translation. It would have only had a spiritual translation, and therefore we would not have that immediate appreciation of Torah that we have today, because it's a physical document that relates to physical phenomena. Physical leprosy, physical illness, physical business. You would have all the business disputations in Gemara. Right? But now when you learn Gemara, whether it's Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, sometimes you can perceive it as a handbook for crooks. The Gemara tells you every possible lie that the criminal can come up with to defend himself. Right? You would have all of this, but it would be a handbook for spiritual divine manipulation. I mean, I can't explain it to you because I'm a product of Asiya. That was the whole debate between Moshe and the Malachim. Malachim said, why are you taking it there? Why? You know what the real Malachim's complaint was? Why are you allowing a human mind to be able to interpret Gemara as a handbook for crooks? Why are you doing this to your treasure? You're giving it to the dumps. You're allowing people to learn it, totally not even appreciate that it's a spiritual story. You could learn Gemara today. It wouldn't even occur to you that there is a divine story going on. That's the Malachim have a good complaint. Moshe says this is its ultimate meaning. In any case, this is the point Alter Rebbe makes of the evolution of the world. Okay, let's just finish. I just want to finish it. Mamash a few lines, I believe, right? And Alter Rebbe adds something. V'chol oylem megimel oylem meselu. Each of these three worlds meschalik l'ravavus madregas. It's not like there are three worlds. Each of these three worlds is subdivided into myriads of gradations. Hanikrayus gamkein oylem espratim, which are also called particular worlds. In other words, these three worlds are called general worlds. Bria may be divided into myriads and myriads of worlds in Yetzirah. So the Alter Rebbe says the same pattern exists in each one of the myriads of worlds. O Malchus da Atzilus. Malchus of Atzilus, which is Shechina. What is Shechina? Divinity, as it articulates and condenses itself. As the soul of all of the universes, that's Malchus of Atzilus. Which means the quality of Hashem as a Melech. Which means Hashem's energy as it's custom made and tailored to create and to sustain a universe outside of Him. So Malchus da'atzilus, milubeshes b'malchus shel kol olam prati. As she is clothed in the level of Malchus of each particular world, yoyredes, she descends, umislabeshes b'heichel kotshe kadoshim shehu chabad, sheba'olam shelamata mimenu b'madrega. She encloses herself in the shrine of the Holy of Holies, in the Chabad, which is in the world below it in rank. That is the pattern of creation throughout the entire revolution of all of the worlds. Ubazayuvan in the footnote, he says on the side, Ubazayuvan lashana kasuv malchus cha malchus kalay lamim. This is the deeper meaning in what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. We say it in Asher every morning. Your malchus, your kingdom is the kingdom of all of the worlds. What is the deeper interpretation in this? The Alter Rebbe explains it as follows. There is Malchuscha, there is something we call your kingdom. Then there is Malchus Kaleilamim, there is the kingship of all of the worlds. So the Pasuk is saying, Malchuscha is Malchus Kaleilamim. It's not really two separate things. There is Malchuscha, your Malchus. And then there is the quality of Malchus of all of the world. So we say Malchuscha, it's two separate things. So David HaMelech says Malchuscha, your Malchus. That is the Malchus of all the worlds. Because the Shechina, Malchus Datzulus, is enclosed in the Malchus of each one of the worlds. And this Malchus of each world then encloses itself in the Chabad of the lower world, which is like the brain, the soul and the brain. And then through the Chabad, it goes to the whole body. To Malchus of that world and then to all of the creatures. And Alter Rebbe finishes, V'hine now, me'ashchina ha'malubeshes, be'heichel kotshi kodashim shel kol oylem v'oylem klali eprati, from the Shechina which is enclosed in the chamber of the Holy of Holies of each and every world, whether general or particular, nimshechu mispashit mimena, er v'chayis l'chal oylem v'abruyim shaboy. So from this Shechina comes and is extended the light and the energy to the entire world and all of the creatures in that world, the souls and the angels, from the Shechina and the Chabad of each world. Each world comes the energy to the entire world, like to the entire body, the souls and the angels and so forth. Kikulam, because everything in all the worlds, Nivru, Basara, Mamara, Shabamaisa, Bereshis, were created through the 10 divine utterances, through Hashem's 10 divine utterances of creation, Shehem Dvar Hashem. These are all called Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, HaNikra B'Shem Shechina, which is termed Shechina like we spoke before. And everything was created through the divine utterances, from the creatures of Bria to a speck of dust in the world of Asiya. Everything comes from Dvar Hashem, which is Shechina. How? Because the Shechina, Malchus Datzilus, is the source that creates every single world through the process of evolution that he described, where the Shechina descends into the Malchus of each world and encloses itself in the Chabad, the brain of the next world, giving rise to all of the worlds and all of the universes. Conclude with a fast little Maisa. One of the great opponents of Chassidus, they say, He was a big lamdan. He was a very great scholar. He came once to the Alter Rebbe to check out the man, to check out the situation. Happened to be, he came for Purim. It's Purim time. It's the Shabbos before Purim or after Purim. The Alter Rebbe said a discourse on the Megillah. So Alter Rebbe started the discourse. Quoting the Pasuk in the Megillah, that Esther Hamalka wept and cried before Achashverosh, after Haman issued forth his decree to annihilate the Jewish people, heaven forbid. And it says, Vatipo lefnei raglov. She fell before the feet of Achashverosh, begging and weeping, pleading on behalf of her people. So the Alter Rebbe went into an ecstasy, and he starts the maimer. Shtaltzich v'kasha v'chiyesh raglayim l'mayla. Vatipo lefnei raglov. Are there legs above? Which means, does Hashem have legs? How can you say Vatipo lefnei raglov, she fell before his legs? Does Hashem have legs? And he went into the whole maimer discussing, which we have, the whole explanation of what it means spiritually. He came back, they said, no. So he responded, he said this story. And he said, he saw when the Alter Rebbe asked the question, v'chiyesh raglayim shalom ayla, that there's a Yid who's not in Olam Haza. That there's a Jew who's not in the physical world. It's just a question. It's not the end. The question. He looks at Megillus Esther, v'atipo lefnei raglov, v'chiyesh raglayim l'mayla. He said he saw a Yid who's not in the physical world, who's in a higher world. Because every, as he explains it, every vart, every word in Torah is from Chachmei Lahad Atzilus. Depends on the evolution and where it touches, which spot it reaches in the evolution is how much and how we understand it and relate to it. Have a wonderful week.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.